Last time in our study of 1 Samuel, we noted how Saul was happy and content to live a life of emptiness as king in Israel. The Lord had chosen Saul to be king over Israel. He had set Saul on the throne so that Saul might fight against the Philistines and deliver the Israelites out of their hand. This was the special task and role that God had given to Saul. Yet 2 years into Saul's reign, he had not lifted a finger against the Philistines. He had done nothing to deal with this serious problem that was afflicting God's people. The sad reality was, Saul was content to sit back and enjoy all of the comforts and all of the benefits of being king and completely forget about his duties and responsibilities. Saul was happy to live a life of empty contentedness, going nowhere and accomplishing nothing for God. Here is a danger that every Christian must guard against. There are great benefits and blessings in being a Christian. All our sins are forgiven. We will never perish in hell. We are the children of God. Christ is our mediator before God's throne. And heaven is our eternal home. These are all tremendous benefits and blessings which belong and only belong to the Christian. And what a blessing it is to be a Christian. What a wonderful thing it is to be a child of God. To know Christ is our Savior. To know all of our sins forgiven. To know it's well with our souls. To know heaven is our eternal home. These things are the greatest blessings of all. And if you do not know these things, if you knew not Christ as your Savior then, what a loss that is to you. Personal loss and eternal loss. These things are the wonderful blessings of being a Christian. Yet the Christian has also great responsibilities. While we live in this world, we are to faithfully serve our God and Savior. We are not to sit back idle and enjoy all the benefits of being a Christian and not serve the Lord. This is something the Christian must not do. The Lord Jesus actually warns us of how the believer must not be content to live a life of emptiness, as he told the parable of the talents in Matthew 25. In this parable, the Savior spoke of how a man was going on a long journey. And before he left, he called in 3 of his servants, and he gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to the 3rd servant. And he gave these talents to his servants that they might trade with him, that they might use them, put them to good use, and increase his wealth while he was away. The man then went on his journey. After a period of time, he returned and called in his 3 servants. The servant with 5 talents had gained another 5 talents. He had worked hard. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The servant had received 2 talents. He gained another 2 talents. And again, his master was very pleased. And he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Then the servant that had received 1 talent was called in. And when he was asked what he had done with the talent he had received, this is what he said. "I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine." In other words, this man did nothing with what he was given. He never put his talent to good use. He never traded with it. He never bought and sold. He never increased that which he had given, was given. He simply hid it. He did nothing. His master then said to him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant." Thou wicked and slothful servant. You see, this man was content to live a life of emptiness. Content to live a life of emptiness. And Christ teaches us through this parable that this is not how the Christian is to live. We must use the talents God has given to us to live for his glory and bring honor to him. This is why God has given to us all the blessings that we enjoy in life. This is why he has saved us. Even as we were thinking earlier on, there, reading earlier on in Romans 12, to be living sacrifices. This is our duty. This is our reasonable service. Not to live a life of emptiness in regard to spiritual things, but to serve the Lord and honor him day by day. Saul was content to live as king, but not to labor as king. And this is why in the first 2 years of his reign, he did nothing to save Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. But Jonathan, Saul's son, was different. He was different. And we see this in 1 Samuel 13 in the verse 3. Notice again what it says there in verse 3 in 1 Samuel 13. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Gibeah, and the Philistines heard of it. And Jonathan was not content to let the Philistines control the lives of God's people. And so he made a surprise attack upon them and smote a garrison of their army. This, of course, was an aggressive move by Jonathan. And it led to the Philistines gathering their forces together and preparing for all-out war against Israel. And this is what Jonathan's actions did. It provoked the Philistines. It angered the Philistines. And now they launch an all-out war against the Israelites. See what it says in verse 5. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth Aven. The Philistines then gathered together in great numbers to wage war against Israel. Jonathan's courageous actions and slaying a garrison of the Philistines then brings matters to a head. And now Saul has no other choice but to call all Israel together and prepare for battle against the Philistines. Saul's hand is forced and now he must go to war. However, even though Saul now prepares to go to war against the Philistines, we are told in this passage of how he behaved in a most foolish and defiant way. As Saul prepared for the day of battle, instead of trusting in the Lord and complying with God's word, he foolishly defies God and defies God's word. This portion of God's word reveals to us Saul's defiant behavior against God. And that's what is brought before us here in these verses that we're thinking upon today. The subject that I want us to think upon then as we come to this passage is Saul's defiance. Saul's defiance. It's always the most dangerous and damaging thing to act in a defiant way against God. And this is something we now see in the life of Saul. He was a man living far from God. Man with a cold heart. And now we see as the Philistines gather to do war, engage in war, Saul behaves in a defiant way against God. And this has serious consequences both for him and for his family, and even for the nation of Israel. And this is what I want us to think upon today, Saul's defiance. And then considering Saul's defiance, there are three things I want us to note in this passage. The first thing I want us to consider is the cause of Saul's defiance, the cause of it. We read of the cause of Saul's defiance against God in verses 5 to 10 here. See again what it says in these verses. Verses 5 to 10, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people hid themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Now what we learn from these verses is that Saul was found in a most difficult position. He was found in a difficult position. I don't think any honest reader of Scripture would deny this, or would want to be found in the position that King Saul was found in here. The Philistines were coming against Israel with all their military force. Their pride had been greatly wounded and injured because of what Jonathan had done and slain the garrison of the Philistines. And so they are filled with revenge and anger. Here are men who are boiling over with hatred. And they want to get vengeance. They want to come against Israel with great force and humble them, as Jonathan has just humbled them. However, even though the Philistines were ready for the fight, the complete opposite The complete opposite was true of the men of Israel. Saul, as we noted last time, had sent most of his army home. And so they had not been properly trained for warfare. Then in verses 6 and 7 here we are told of the spirit and morale that was found amongst the men of Israel. The army of Israel was greatly distressed, it says. Some deserted, and those that stayed were filled with dread. This then was the most difficult situation Saul was in. Not only was he faced with a great enemy, who were filled with rage and wanting revenge, but he was in charge of a weak and worried army. But then, these verses also teach us that Saul was faced with another difficulty, another problem. Samuel, God's prophet, had not come in the time appointed to make sacrifice and to pray for Israel as they entered into battle. We read of this in verse 8. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Samuel was appointed to come to pray, but he didn't. Although the army of Israel was weak in comparison to the Philistine army, yet the truth remained, the Lord was their God. The Lord was their God. And with God on their side, they could face any army. Israel had God as their defense. Therefore, it was vital that they sought for God's help before engaging in the battle. Samuel had told Saul he would come to make sacrifice at a particular time. But he came not in the appointed time. For some reason, he was held up and he didn't come. And so this was the difficult situation that Saul was found in. The Philistines were about to attack. Their forces were vast. They were strong. Israel were being scattered abroad. They were hiding. They were fleeing. And Samuel hadn't even turned up to pray and to make sacrifice. Well, what a difficult situation Saul was in. We're then told in this passage of how Saul took matters into his own hand. And he defied and disobeyed God and made sacrifice himself, which he was not permitted to do. We read in verse 9, and Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Saul offered the burnt offering himself. This then was the cause of Saul's defiance against God. He found himself in a difficult situation, an extremely difficult situation. And in the midst of the trouble he found himself in, he decided it was best to ignore God's word and to take matters into his own hands. This was the cause of his defiance. Now, as we consider the cause of Saul's defiance here and the difficult situation that he undoubtedly was found in, I believe there are two very important spiritual truths that we need to note in this passage. Two important lessons that have got great practical significance and how we as God's people live in this world. The first spiritual lesson we see here is God tests his people. God tests his people. The situation that Saul found himself in was surely a most difficult and challenging one. We might say Saul was caught between a rock and a hard place. No one would want to have been found in his shoes. The Philistines about to attack. The Israelite army was weak and they were hiding, they were fleeing, they were deserting. Samuel hadn't even come to pray yet. This was surely a most difficult situation. Yet in all of the difficulties and problems that Saul was faced with, God was testing him. God was testing him. The Lord was testing Saul's faithfulness and obedience in all of this. This is something that is brought before us in the second half of verse 13. Samuel here comes to speak with Saul. Notice what he says to him in verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. See here the words, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon thee forever. In other words, Samuel was saying to Saul, if you'd obeyed the Lord, if you'd obeyed the Lord here and not defied him, then you would have enjoyed in great measure God's wonderful blessing in your life. He's really saying to Saul, God was testing you here. This was a time of testing in your life, Saul. And if you'd obeyed instead of defying, God would have established your kingdom. and how richly you would have been blessed. This present difficulty that Saul found himself in was then a time of testing in his life. God was putting Saul's faithfulness and Saul's submission to the test as he put him into this difficult scenario. You see, this is very often how God works in the lives of his people. He allows difficulties to come along. Indeed, he brings difficulties into the lives of his people that he might test them. This is how God still works in the lives of his people. We see the same thing in the life of Abraham. In Genesis 22, in the verses 1 and 2, we read, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." And the word "tempt" there literally means to test. God did test Abraham, and said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now what a test this was. Here was Abraham, and he had a son Isaac, a son that he had prayed for many years, the son of his old age, the son that he really loved. And God said, "Abraham, I want you to take this son and offer him for a sacrifice." What a difficult situation Abraham was placed in. What a difficult situation. And yet Abraham was faithful. And he went and was about to slay his son. And of course we know the story, the Lord stepped in. But this reveals to us that God does test his people. And he tests his people by bringing into their lives difficult, troubling situations. And this is still how God works. Perhaps God could be testing you at this very moment in time. Testing you through some sickness, some trial, some difficulty you're facing in life. Sometimes believers think, why are these things happening to me? Why does God permit these things to come into my life? Because he's testing you. And this is how God works. God has put in your faithfulness to the test. And this is something we need to understand. This is something we need to understand as we face difficult circumstances in life. Sickness and trials. And maybe you don't think at the moment, well, I've not been tested. Well, it won't be long until you are. Because this is the very nature of living the Christian life. God, as it were, holds our feet to the fire to see, are we going to be faithful to him? Are we going to honor him? The time of testing is to prove, will we be foolish like Saul or faithful like Abraham? That's why God brings about difficult circumstances in life, that it might test us and prove our faith. And so as we think of the cause of Saul's defiance, we're about to see here God tests his people. But then another spiritual lesson we learn here from the cause of Saul's defiance is that God's truth prevails. God's truth prevails. Saul felt he could disobey God's word and take matters into his own hands because of the difficult situation he was faced with. This was Saul's thinking here. I'm faced with a real problem here. And this is such a difficult situation. And really, because of the difficulty of my situation, I'm just going to set aside God's truth. Don't really need to regard that because this problem is so big I've got here. I'm going to slide that across. We don't need God's word now. We don't need God's truth because this problem is so big. This was how Saul was thinking. And they notice what it says here. He even states this in verses 11 and 12. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." Saul here is making his excuses why he disobeyed God and why he offered this sacrifice. And he tells Samuel, "I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering." In other words, he was saying, I had no other choice. I was in this difficult situation and I had no other choice but to disobey God. I had no other choice but to break his commandments. I had no other choice but to defy the Lord. This is all I could do, Samuel. And this is what Saul was saying here. This is his excuse. Yet notice Samuel's response to Saul in the opening words of verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast done foolishly." The point Samuel was making here before Saul was, God's truth always prevails. God's truth always prevails. It is never right to do wrong. It is never right to disobey God's word. No matter how difficult the situation we are faced with might be, it is utter foolishness to go against God. That's what Saul did here. He went against God. He defied the Lord. And Samuel was saying, this is foolishness. Utter foolishness. God's truth prevails in all the difficulties of life. It must not be set aside. It must not be forgot about. Now this is the position the Christian must take and hold to with all determination as they live in this world. We must honour God and obey his word despite the difficulties and circumstances we might face. And this is what we must do as Christians. We must honour God and obey his word no matter what the consequences might be. No matter what might happen. This is the position that Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego took. Remember the three Hebrew children? And they were commanded to bow down before the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. This was the law of the land. You must bow down, and if you don't bow down, you'll be thrown into the fiery furnace. But listen to the words of Daniel 3:16-18. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I love those words. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they're saying, listen, we don't even have to think about this. This isn't a difficult one. Nebuchadnezzar, this is simple. We don't even have to consider this one. We don't have to be careful in answering you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So they're saying, listen, we believe our God can save us. If it be his will, he can save us. But then this is what they said. But if not, even if God doesn't save us, even if we're consumed in the fiery furnace, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. See what these men were doing? They were saying, listen, we're just going to obey the Lord. That's all we're doing. And it doesn't matter what might happen. We're not concerned about it. We're still not going to do what's wrong and defy the Lord. In this sense, the Christian life is really a very simple thing. It really is a very simple thing. All we have to do is obey. All we have to do is obey the Lord and honor him. We don't have to worry about the what ifs. What if we do this? And what if we do that? And this might happen here. And we might suffer this, or we might endure this consequence. This was Saul's mistake. He behaved in this defiant way against the Lord because of the what ifs. What if the Philistines attacked and I hadn't prayed? What if all the men in Israel deserted me? And this was what he was concerned with. And this is why he thought it was right to set aside God's word. Many have fallen into this trap. Let me say this. Many, many have fallen into this trap. Even so-called great men. The what-ifs have caught them out. And they think that because perhaps of some difficult circumstances they are in, they can set aside God's word. Christian, this is never right. Never right. We're called simply to honor God, be faithful to his word. And leave the consequences to the Lord. Because the truth is this, God's truth prevails. It prevails through all the difficulties and challenges of life. And so we have here Saul's defiance, the cause of it. He thought because he was in a difficult situation, he could defy the Lord. But how foolish he was. Then secondly, notice with me here today, not only the cause of Saul's defiance, but the character of Saul's defiance. Saul's defiant behavior was very serious. And it brought with it the most serious consequences for Saul and his family. It is then important we understand the matter or the nature or character of Saul's defiance against the Lord at this time. Why was this such a serious thing for Saul to behave in the way that he did? What sin? What sin was he actually committing as he offered the burnt offering and made supplication to God? Well, notice with me here in this passage, Saul's defiance against God involved a number of great sins. We see here Saul's defiance involved disobeying God. It involved disobeying God. See again the words of verse 13. Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee." Note the words here. "Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee." Saul might have been king in Israel, but he was not permitted to offer the burnt offering. God had given the solemn task to the priests and Levites. And it seems from this passage that Samuel had previously reminded Saul of this. Indeed, I believe it wouldn't be too far to say or too far to stretch to say that Samuel had said to Saul, "I'll come on the appointed time to offer the sacrifices, but make sure you don't do it. Make sure you don't do it." I do believe we can deduce this even from Samuel's words here as he says, "Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee." That's personal. We can say here that Samuel said to Saul directly, "You're not to offer the sacrifice." But he didn't listen. He didn't listen. He disobeys and disregards God's word and defiantly does what he thinks is best. The point I want us to note here is this. Every time we disobey God and break his commandments, it is an act of defiance against the Lord. This is why sin and disobedience of every kind is such a wicked and evil thing. Because it is defiance against God. It is rebellion against the Lord's rule and authority. This is what happened in the first sin. Sometimes people think, well, you know, Eve's sin, was it really all that serious? To eat a piece of fruit? One piece of fruit? Was it really all that serious? It was, because it was defiance against God. It was rebellion against the Lord. It was saying, "I will not live under your rule or your authority, but I will live according to how I please and do what I want to do." And this is true of every single sin. This is why sin is a serious thing, believer. Because every time we sin, we are shaking our fist in the face of God in defiance. That's what sin is. Disobeying God in a defiant and rebellious way. And this is what we need to understand. This is what our sin is. This is why it is a serious thing. It's disobedience against God. It's defiance. Saul's defiance involved disobeying God. Notice also here, Saul's defiance involved distrusting God. Even though it seemed everything in Saul's life was falling apart, that he was in a very difficult situation, the reality was, the Lord was still in control. He was still God, and he was still reigning with complete authority over all that took place. That was the reality. Indeed, what Saul should have done in the midst of his difficulties was place his trust and confidence fully in the Lord, saying, "I'm not able to save myself. I'm not able to save Israel, but I'm trusting in my God to meet my need." This is what Saul should have done. I am in a difficult situation. I am in an extremely difficult situation, but Lord, I'm trusting in you. You're my confidence. You're my defense. You're my everything. Yet Saul did not do this. Instead of trusting in the Lord, what does he do? He takes matters into his own hands. And with a defiant heart offered the burnt offering. Saul's defiance then involved distrusting God. Distrusting God. Not believing in him. Not believing God could provide. We see the same thing with the people of Israel as they came to the edge of the promised land. Remember, as the people of Israel came to the edge of the promised land, they sent out 12 spies. 2 were good, 10 were evil, and the evil spies brought back the evil report about the great giants that were there and the cities that were there and all of the difficulties that were before them. They rebelled against God, and they were about to stone Moses and head back to Egypt. But what was this? This was unbelief. Indeed, the Lord made them wander in the wilderness of 40 years because of their unbelief. Because they wouldn't believe he could do it for them. Because they wouldn't believe he could give them victory. Because they distrusted God. That was their sin. You see, defying God is also an act of distrust. Not trusting the Lord as we should. And that is also a serious sin. Not believing God can sustain us in the difficulty. Not believing God can provide for us. Not believing God can keep us. That's sinning. Proverbs 3 and 5 declares, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not onto thine own understanding. Think of that. God commands us to trust in him with all of our hearts, and we are not to lean on our own understanding. That's exactly what Saul was doing here. But God says we are to do the opposite. And so not to do this is an act of defiance. Defiance in the heart. Lord, I won't believe you. I won't trust in you. I won't look to you to provide for me. This is what Saul did here. Again, this is why his sin was so wicked. Because it was not only disobeying God, it was distrusting God. But then Saul's defiance also involved dishonoring God. Dishonoring God. As Saul offered the burnt offering before the men of Israel that day, they would have known that Saul was now not obeying the Lord. As they watched their king, he was their leader, he was their king, he was their captain. As they watched him take the sacrifice and offer it, they knew here was a man and he was disobeying God. And they were watching their king do this now. How dishonoring was that to the Lord? What an example that was before his men. In their sight, before his soldiers, he was defying God publicly and openly, breaking his commandments. Saul's defiance then also involved dishonoring God in the most dreadful manner. Belittling the Lord. Saying his laws, his commandments, don't really matter that much. We can just throw them out at our pleasure. Saul greatly dishonored the Lord here. We have then in this passage the character of Saul's defiance. It involved disobedience, distrust, and dishonor. Now as God's people, here is something we need to understand. Here is something we need to understand. When we disobey God, when we distrust God, or when we dishonor God, it is defiance against the Lord. And that is the most serious thing. That is the most serious thing. Could I ask you today, are you living in defiance against God? Maybe you would think, well, what are you talking about? Well, what a question to ask. Are you living in defiance? I'm not living in defiance against God. Well, let me put it this way. Is there disobedience in your life? Is there disobedience in your life? And one area you know in your heart of hearts that there you're disobeying God, you're not submitting to his word, you're not living according to his commandments, that's defiance. And that's serious. Is there distrust in your life? Maybe you're overcome with worry and concern about some particular issue. And it's all because you're not trusting in God. Let me also say, with all grace, that's defying God because he says, trust me. And you're saying, I won't trust you. Maybe you're dishonoring the Lord in how you're living, the things that you're doing. Your life doesn't bring glory to him as it should. Again, that's a serious thing because that's defying God. He made us, he remade us in salvation. We might be those that live for his glory. And when we refuse to do this, this is defiance. And this is a serious sin. This was the character of Saul's defiance. It was a most serious sin. Sin against God. Final thing I want to note today, not only the cause of Saul's defiance and the character of it, but I want us to think about the consequences of Saul's defiance. Read of this in verse 14. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has set him, or sought him a man over after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. In these words, we learn that the consequences of Saul's defiance against God were really twofold. We're told here Saul's defiance against God troubled his own life. Troubled his own life. Samuel declared to Saul in the opening words of verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue." He was saying to him, God was going to remove him from being king in Israel. His reign would end. It would come to an end. And another man would take his position. That's what Samuel was saying. Now, what a blow this was to Saul. What a terrible blow. He could have been a great man. He could have had a fruitful and successful reign. But because of his defiance against God, he would now miss out on all of these riches and all of these blessings that God would have bestowed upon his life. Because of his defiance, these things would all be taken from him. And he would not enjoy a successful and blessed reign. This is always the sad consequences when there is defiance in the heart and life of the Christian. It robs the Christian of so much of the blessing of God. That's what defiance does. That's what disobedience does in the life of the Christian. It robs us of so much of the blessing of God. We see this in Saul's life. We also see it in the lives of the Israelites as they refused to enter the promised land, if it really referred to that. But they were wandered for 40 years in the wilderness and they died there. And think about it. God had brought them out of Egypt. He brought them to the edge of the Red Sea. There was the River Jordan, and the other side of that was the land flowing with milk and honey. But they didn't enter into that. They lived in the wilderness. Dry, barren, dusty wilderness for 40 years, and they died there. Not because there wasn't good things to enjoy. Not because God didn't want to bless them, but because they were defiant. There was defiance in their lives. Other examples in Scripture, we can think of Achan. Remember Achan and Jericho? He took the accursed thing. And God's judgment fell upon him and his family. What about Jonah? God wanted Jonah to go and be a preacher. Jonah went the other way and he ended up in the depth of the sea in a fish's belly. Because of defiance. See, it's foolishness to defy the Lord for his self-harm. Self-harm. Christian, understand this today. God would want to bless you and bless you abundantly. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. He wants to bless the work of God here. But it's our defiance, it's our disobedience that so often hinders us from enjoying the blessing of God. So Saul's defiance against God troubled his own life. Then notice also here, Saul's defiance against God troubled his own home. Troubled his own home. Saul's children and his family could have been kings and princes in Israel for generations to come. They could have been. They could have been the royal household with all the benefits and privileges that comes with such an honor. Think about it. Here was Saul. He was king, the first king in Israel. And the king could have been, or the royal line could have flown out of Saul's line. And all his sons and all his children and grandchildren for years to come could have been the royal family, the royal household. But as Samuel declared to Saul in verse 14, "But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people." He was making Saul aware that his family as well as him would suffer because of his defiance. They would also suffer. The royal line, as far as his house was concerned, would not continue. Now, there's a very solemn lesson here for all of God's people. Very solemn lesson. That lesson is this. We as Christ's people do not walk in obedience to God's word. Then this will have sad consequences for those nearest and dearest to us. Sad consequences for our children and grandchildren. Do we not see this here with Saul? Here was Saul, the head of his home. Here was Saul the king. But because of his defiant behavior, because of his rebellious behavior against God, this not only affected him greatly, but his children and his grandchildren and his whole home was impacted by his sin. We also see the same in David's life, the next king in Israel. Remember David sinned with Bathsheba? And from that moment, there was trouble in his family. His defiance against God in regard to Bathsheba brought terrible trouble into his home. This is a warning. God has shown us in Scripture how serious a thing it is not to comply with his word, not to live in obedience to his voice. It will not only impact us, but impact our children and generations to come. Saul's defiance is a warning to every believer of the danger and disaster of not living a life in submission to God's word. That's why God brings this truth before us today as a warning. I trust that we will heed the warning of God's word and that we will not go in the way of foolish Saul. We will not live in defiance against God. We will not think we are wiser than God. We will completely surrender and submit to the Lord, do his bidding, and walk according to his word. This is what God would say to us today, even as he brings this warning before us in regard to Saul's life. We may not be a people that live in defiance of God, but maybe those that live according to his truth and obey his word day by day. I trust God will bless his truth to our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen and amen.